I'm Austin Erickson with Republican State Senator Jordan Rasmussen of Fergus Falls. Senator, thanks for joining me.
Good to be with you, Austin.
This session, you worked on passing a bill investing $55 million for the Anoka Metro Regional Treatment Center, a psychiatric hospital. Why is that important for greater Minnesota?
I heard from county sheriffs and county attorneys across the state about the growing mental health challenges facing our communities here in Minnesota. And I had a constituent who spent more than 100 days waiting in a local jail to get the psychiatric care that he needed. So we had major capacity issues here in Minnesota at our largest psychiatric hospital. So I'm really glad that as a part of the capital investment bill, we secured $55 million to add 50 treatment beds at that key facility to help Minnesotans get the care they need.
I've heard of similar issues at the Clay County Jail as well, but in June, Otter Tail County Attorney Michelle Eldine said your county's jail is holding people on civil commitments without them being charged with a crime because of public safety concerns. Is that still happening?
There has been a waiting list across the state for individuals to be transferred to our state's psychiatric hospital, and that results in individuals oftentimes being held in jails. And that's why you saw county attorneys, county sheriffs come together this year to advocate for additional capacity. And I'm glad we're able to make that investment to help relieve the strain that local law enforcement is dealing with.
So you had a recent public safety roundtable in Otter Tail County where you heard from sheriffs, police chiefs, and county attorneys. What did they tell you about the safety challenges and policy solutions?
They were really grateful that this investment is moving forward. We haven't had a major capacity increase in our state hospitals in decades. And so this investment is going to help them ensure that people within their communities get the care they need and aren't languishing in a jail cell.
There used to be, if I remember correctly, a psychiatric facility in Fergus Falls, but that is no longer the case. The Anoka Metro Regional Treatment Center, how will this funding help people trying to go to this facility?
Yeah, so state hospitals across Minnesota and across the country were shut down decades ago, including one here in Fergus Falls, where I live. And I think we kind of went too far on the pendulum in terms of taking away this critical capacity. And now we're seeing some of the consequences of that. And that's why we needed to make an investment this year in expanding capacity at our state's largest psychiatric hospital.
Your colleague, DFL State Senator Rob Kupek of Moorhead, tells me a psychiatric residential treatment facility is being built as an addition to the Clay County Jail. Money to fund it was in this session's bonding bill. How important is it for people in western Minnesota to have a facility like this?
I've really appreciated the Clay County Commissioners and they're collaborating with other counties here in western Minnesota to look at how we can build mental health capacity for our region. And so I'm supportive of those efforts and really appreciate the county commissioners collaborating together to try to come up with a regional solution.
Were you aware of this in the legislature and did you push to have it built?
I believe I'm a co-author on that bill. I don't think funding for it was included in the bonding bill, but there might have been another Health and Human Services bill that had some funding for that Clay County facility.
Thank you for reminding me that is actually the case, and I forgot that. Thank you. Anything else you'd like to mention on mental health care or helping out people in jails that should possibly be in a mental health facility?
I'm really grateful for the county sheriffs, the county attorneys that came down to the Capitol to advocate for increased mental health capacity at our state facilities. Their voices were heard, and I was really happy to support moving forward with this 50-bed increase at the Anoka Metro Regional Treatment Center, which is going to help our counties across the state make sure that our neighbors experiencing a mental health crisis get the help they need.
Still on the topic of healthcare, this year you led the charge to remove undocumented people from being eligible for Minnesota care, the public health insurance program funded by state taxes. What would you say to families who rely on this healthcare option, who may not be American citizens, who have life-altering issues living and working in places like Fergus Falls, Breckenridge, or Perham?
Yeah, I was chief author of the bill to roll back taxpayer-funded healthcare for illegal immigrants. That bill had bipartisan support and passed the Minnesota Senate, was signed into law by the governor. And I think for me, it's really about putting Minnesotans first. When we were facing a $6 billion budget deficit, yet spending hundreds of millions of dollars on free healthcare for illegal immigrants, it was a question of priorities. And I'm glad that, as a part of my efforts at the legislature this year, we prioritized local hospitals, we prioritized nursing homes, we prioritized emergency medical services, and we found savings by rolling back taxpayer-funded health care for illegal immigrants.
Speaking on that front, do you support President Trump and his changes to Medicaid?
We do have to look at eligibility for Medicaid to make it a sustainable program in the future. And we've seen here in Minnesota, the U.S. attorney has said that we have more than $1 billion in identified waste, fraud, and abuse within our Medicaid program. And so we do have to get serious about making sure that the help goes to the people who really need it. And by including illegal immigrants, by including people that aren't eligible for these programs, we weaken their the program's sustainability for the future and for the individuals who really need that care.
Have you heard concerns from people maybe in Lake Region Healthcare in Fergus Falls that they'll possibly get less funding from Medicaid because rural hospitals often rely on that money?
I think, even at the state level, we had a briefing a couple weeks ago. I think people are still trying to assess all of the different impacts that the federal legislation will have. One thing that was included in that bill was $50 billion for rural health care. And, some of the details about that program will be coming out in the coming months. And so I think people are still trying to assess it. And it's important to note that most of these changes are out in the future. Many of them don't become effective until 2027. And even with that, states can request a 24-month waiver to push back those changes even further. So again, these are about long-term reforms, making sure that the program is sustainable and that the people who really need it are able to get it while we're cracking down on waste, fraud, and abuse.
We talked off air before. You said Watermelon Days and Vining is coming up. I'm guessing this is a season where you're meeting with voters. Your constituents, what are you hoping to hear from them when you're out in the community?
It's a really fun time in Lakes Country. I had four parades last weekend that I got to go out and participate in. And so it's really great to hear the feedback from what people's takeaways are from this legislative session, what their questions are, their hopes and their concerns. And so I really appreciate all the constituents who reach out and provide their thoughts and feedback. And I think my big takeaway that I've heard is that they expect us to put Minnesotans first. They expect us to put their family's budget first. And those will be the things that I'll be working on at the Capitol.
Senator Rasmussen, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.